Well, the Rev. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour. And the organization today is January 3, 2023. Probably the 22nd day of Tibet 2027. We will start our first service today for the song of the name, and then we're going to go into our subject is What is Religion? Biti Hala. Again, July the 12th, 1947. This is volume one of the Time of Greetings, number 49. Now, folks, pay close attention. So this is good to understand how to be born again, that you must be born again. And this explains it real clear. I've been born again of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Nicodemus found that out. Okay, we're going to start now. What is religion? Does it profit both now and hereafter? If humanity needs to know any one thing above another, it is the answer to these two questions. What is religion? Does it profit now and hereafter? Many think that religion consists of going to church, of praying, of having good morals, not stealing, not killing, not parading again, not gambling, not attending shows, not eating certain things, of the doing or of the not doing this, that, and the other. Other sense religion is nothing more than some kind of a sociological order, and that the church is a place in which to get acquainted, etc. Let us see. Well, Yeshua was confronted by the rich young ruler, who said unto him, I kept the commandment. What yet must I do to enter into a life eternal? Here follows the answer. Luke 18:22. And when Yeshua heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. For the understanding of this scripture, we must read another one along with it. John 3:1-3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. For the same came unto Yeshua by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from the Yahweh, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except the Yahweh be with him. For Yeshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, you have to be born again just to see the kingdom of Yahweh, let alone enter into it. Although the two go together, you see the kingdom, and you know where it's at, you know what it's going to take to get in there, and so you conform to that, those laws of the sanctuary. And then it automatically fulfills Luke 17:20. For the kingdom of Yahweh cometh not with the observation, but the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. Once you see the present truth of the, how to enter into it by the obedience and through all the statutes and judgments of the sanctuary service. Start with the seventh-day Sabbath. Both the rich young man and Nicodemus were rulers. And though Nicodemus might not have been as rich as the young man, for he nevertheless was not poor. So why was the one asked to distribute his riches unto the poor and the other told to be born again? Why should not both pay the same price for this salvation? Here are the reasons for the avoiding of being seen in the company of Yeshua. Nicodemus came unto him, not by the day, but secretly by the night. Whereas the young ruler came unto Yeshua, not only openly by the day, but also while a multitude were with the Yeshua. For the rich young ruler's basic hindrance, therefore, was his wealth. And Nicodemus' basic hindrance was his pride. Only then the one's ailments call for one kind of treatment, and the other's ailments call for another kind of treatment. But Yeshua never asked anyone to take his religion, but he asked them to follow him, to be one of his disciples. For the rich young ruler could not follow Yeshua because his heart was centered upon his own riches. And Nicodemus could not follow Yeshua because he was too proud to be seen in the company of the unpopular and hated Yeshua, followed by the humble fishermen. For the removing of the hindrances is with the one getting rid of his riches, and the other getting rid of his pride. For the to eradicate pride, one must be born again, must become a new man. But to eradicate the love of money, one must give his money to those who really need it. For the scriptures bear record that the Abraham was very rich, yet he is called the friend of the Yahweh. Riches in themselves therefore can be a blessing, although they more often become a curse. For the pride, however, is never good. Remember that the devil finds in every one of us at least one loophole. Wherever that loophole be, it must be done away with. But it be it riches or be it pride. Not all, yet not all are rich and tied to their wealth, but everyone can be tied to himself, their own man, and not only give up riches, but only but loose from the old man who gets them into everything but what they ought to be in. Let us read again from the John 3, verse 48. For the Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the third time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, that he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. For the Nicodemus acknowledgement that Yahshua was the Son of the Yahweh made his case exceedingly bad. Knowing who Jesus was, he should not have been ashamed to be seen in his company, nor should he have been afraid of his enemies. He should have considered it a privilege to associate with the Son of Yahweh, with the heavenly being. But inasmuch as Nicodemus was ashamed to be seen with him, and was proud to be with the Pharisee, he needed to bury the old man and to arise in the newness of life, for he needed to be born again. For the question, how can a man be born when he is old? For Yahshua is with the answering, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. For the Nicodemus had to be baptized, had to publicly acknowledge Yahshua as the Son of Yahweh, and receive the Spirit of the truth. And the illustration, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Definitely points out that to really know what it is to be born of the Spirit is to have the experience of being one of his disciples, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and of the proclaiming his truth. For Yahshua comparing his followers, those who are born again, with the wind, makes this fact still clearer. For if his disciples are like the wind, if no one knows where they come from and where they go to, then the only way to find out is to become one with them. For Yahshua to become one with us, he had to be born again. He had to become an earthly man. And for us to be one with him, we have to be born again, born of the Spirit. For the difference is that Yahshua was first born as a spiritual, as a divine being, and as a sixth, okay, it says, being a being. Let's read that again. For the difference is that Yahshua was first born as a spiritual man, and then as a spiritual being, and second as a human, whereas we are first born human beings, and second spiritual being. Prophetically speaking of the Yahshua's birth, the prophet Isaiah wrote, Isaiah 66:7, before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. For the Jewish church, as the church into which and by which the Yahshua was born, is with the inspiration declaring, neither travail nor had pain. That is, she felt neither need of nor burden for a Savior, and yet in spite of the fact he was born. But he's speaking of the children that are to make up the kingdom, we read, Isaiah 66:8, who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as the Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now pay close attention to what I'm about to read. Although the Jewish church and the Assyrians, they travail not, yet she brought forth the Son of Yahweh. But when Zion travailed, she brings forth all her children at once. A whole nation, a miracle in each instance. Okay? How many Zion travailed? Question mark. Now, how many the Zion travail? Question mark. Let us turn into the natural realm. In the nature, the mother carries the child, then travails and gives birth unto it. How else then, in the spiritual realm, can Zion travail without first carrying her children before they are born? Yet, be specific. When one joins the church, she is pregnant with him, so to speak. When she is thus carrying her children, then they shall all be born at once. They shall all at once retrieve their second birth, the birth here mentioned. That is when the judgment comes to the church, and she has to make the transition from one movement to a higher movement. The birth here mentioned. And as inspiration makes it clear that they must be born again, they all at the outset must be in the same state of mind as was Nicodemus. So it says, ashamed to be seen in the company of the present truth believers, ashamed to be associated with the believers with the unpopular truth. Plainly then, our efforts for the reaching of the people with the message of a second birth shall not be in vain, for the Zion shall bring forth all her children, as it were, in one day. Now keep in mind, the Bible says a day for a year. So in the future, when the 144,000 comes forth, that is Mount Zion travailing, the Adventist Church. She's travailing, and it says there in Isaiah 66, shall a nation be born in one day, shall it be born at once. But as soon as it comes time for the 144,000 to come forth, they all come forth at once out of the Adventist Church. That's Zion travailing in our day. Shall not be in vain, for the Zion shall bring forth all her children, as it were, in one day, meaning that the year of his vengeance, the year of his redeeming, is come. And that is why we cannot be driven to despair or to discouragement. We are assured that the great revival and reformation will take place among all of Yahweh's people, that the word will not return unto him void. Now, who could the children be? To be children of the Zion, they must someday stand on Zion. They are therefore none other than the first fruits, the 144,000, of whom the Revelator says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. Revelation 14:1. From the scriptures, it is now clearly seen that in this instant, when one joins the church becomes pregnant with that member. Now, thus it is that from the time one becomes a member of the church until the time he is born again, he is spiritually developing for the hour of the second birth. And after he is born again, he is still to keep on growing until he becomes a full-grown, matured spiritual being, a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the Yeshua, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Accordingly, this state of the being no one has as yet reached. But the time is now at hand when a multitude shall reach it. For says the Yeshua, Isaiah 66:9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Yeshua? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, says the Yahweh? This scripture endeavors to remove all doubt. Let us believe the Yeshua and know for certain that the time for this particular new birth is here, and that Yeshua can and will make it possible regardless how it may appear unto us. From this study we see that religion is not made up of the musts and don'ts, that no one is to be tied to unto a man, but unto the always ever unfolding truth. That religion means to be following the Yeshua and to be doing these things which he leads one to do. That from the time one accepts Yeshua as his Savior, from that very time he is to begin to grow spiritually, that to be born again, then to become a full-grown spiritual being, not all at once, but to be growing daily. To reach such a high state of the perfection, one must therefore be perfecting himself daily and be in the keeping with the present truth of the Yahweh, that each spark of the present truth might add unto the amount of the spiritual growth that the season requires, or else one will fall behind in the reaching of the spiritual maturity. Only thus can one be reaping all the benefits which religion affords. No, religion is not something extra, something optional. It is something which everyone must have. A true and up-to-date religion is something as essential as the eyes in your head. For example, let me take you through the stream of time, beginning with the Noah. His religion not only saved him and his family from the drowning in the terrible flood, but also made him become the progenitor of the world after the flood. Yes, the progenitor of our world. So how many progenitors have Yahweh had in this world? He started with Seth, the third son of Adam. Then he went to Enoch, was a progenitor. Then he went to Noah, was a progenitor. Then he went to Abraham, a progenitor. Isaac, a progenitor. And Jacob, a progenitor. Okay. And then you had David, a progenitor. And had others. Okay, so it says that. For the world in this day, though, perished because it felt no need of an up-to-date religion, no need of the present truth. What a shame. What nonsense for one to try to get along without religion, without Yahweh's counsel, and without the message of the hour. Let us take a look at another highlight. in the Bible history. For the mother of the Moses believed in up-to-date religion. She believed that the time had come for the deliverance of the Hebrew race, and she did all she could to make it possible. When she saw that she could no longer hide her infant son from the hand of the Pharaoh, she let her religion do the rest. The results were great. Not only did she receive her son again in her arms, forever saved from the being thrown into the Nile, but also a guarantee for his support, education, and all the best Egypt could afford, were paid from the Pharaoh's treasury. The right kind of religion, you see, does great things. 80 years later, Moses' religion led the whole Hebrew nation from the brickyards of Pharaoh to the Red Sea. The sea parted for their sake, and as soon as they passed through, it closed in on their taskmasters. What a deliverance. What a victory. Moreover, as those millions of men, women, and children, also their cattle came into that forbidden desert, a place where there was neither food nor water, religion made the rocks gush with the streams, and the clouds dropped down manna, not for a day, not for a month, but for 40 long years. Then the miracle of the Red Sea was repeated at the River Jordan, and the emancipated brick makers became prophets, kings, and priests. Okay, it says, notwithstanding all these great happenings, when they became careless and indifferent, when they felt no need of the prophets, no need of the present truth, no need of the meat in due season, they again became slaves and captives. That is why we need the right hand of religion. And that is why we need to stick to religion and to grow with it. For the Jews were taken captive and carried into Babylon. Nevertheless, those who were faithful unto their religion and were well taken care of, even in their captivity. Daniel, for instance, rather than serving as a slave, was instead treated as a lord and was at last made a ruler by both the Chaldeans and the Medo-Persians. And when he was for a spot thrown into the lion's den, he was spared. While his enemies were eaten up by the wild beast, when the three Hebrews for faithfulness unto their religion were thrown into the fiery furnace, the Son of Yahweh came and rescued them, and not a hair of their heads perished. For their enemies, though, were burned to death. But the Hebrews were made rulers in the kingdom. For the Gideon had the winter war. After recruiting 22,000 soldiers, he was told that they were too many. Consequently, the time killers were removed. And finally, there were but 300 left to fight against the multitude that covered the plain in the spot of his small army, Gideon did win the war overnight and without the loss of a man. For the religion, brother, sister, when lived up to, is a fine proposition. All could have been Daniels and Gideons, yet even the Jews of the day could have been something. But what are they? A nation hated by all the people in the world, a nation without a king, without a flag, without a land, as the only such nation on earth. Now let me tell you of an experience that is strictly personal and the news to most of you. For several years ago, while I was crossing one of the busy streets of Los Angeles, California, a woman from my left drove squarely into me. She then became so nervous that she could not stop her car, but kept going for a half block. The car, though, did not tip me over. An unseen hand carried me ahead of it, and when the car stopped right at the alley which crossed the street, I stopped too. By that time, hundreds of spectators, including news reporters and three motor cops, had gathered around the car. As they found no one lying in the street, dead or wounded, they decided the victim must have been pinned under the car. When I told them that it was I who had been hit, they wondered. As I told them that I was not hurt, and as I refused to be taken to the hospital, they made me raise up my hands and legs, and they asked dozens of questions. The pencil in my coat pocket had been crushed by the impact of the car into about a dozen pieces, but my ribs were untouched, and one from among the crowd said, "He must be made of rubber." Religion, you see, is better than an insurance policy. From our study, we perceive that Yahweh's power that protected life even in the fiery furnace and in the lion's den is still at work. That Yahweh is still as much interested in his people today as he was in the Daniels or in any other day. We therefore need up-to-date religion every day. We cannot afford to be without it. No, not even for a moment. Honey Truth not only saves our souls for eternity, but it protects us from day to day. It supplies our needs today and gives us hope for hereafter. There is safety in nothing else, and faith in the Yahweh is our only peace of mind, especially in this day and age. Religion obviously is possible not only for the hereafter, but certainly for today as well. Do not play the fool by trying to get along without it. This brings the end of number 49, Timely Greetings, Volume 1.